Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. We're now on Juz 18, alhamdulillah, and we are getting close to the last 10 nights. And I want to remind everyone, first and foremost, inshallah ta'ala, to please donate, inshallah. We have the Automate Your 10 Nights. If you can click that link, inshallah ta'ala, we really need everyone's support, bidnillahi ta'ala. As you've seen, I hope, inshallah, the benefit of the work go up and the quality of the work go up, inshallah ta'ala. That is first and foremost due to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us of His bounty always, and then your support. So we want to remind you all, inshallah, to please support the work, inshallah. Also, tune into the webathon, which will be loaded with gems, bidnillah, on how to prepare yourself for the last 10 nights. That's coming up this Tuesday, inshallah ta'ala, and that information is in the link below. And before we have cited the last 10 nights, we've cited another Canadian, alhamdulillah. Dr. Nazir Khan is with us, our president of Yaqeen Canada, director of research strategy, and of course, Sister Ruhi Tahir from Chicago Sharif, as you all like to call it. Yep. Alhamdulillah. So, Dr. Nazir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Everything's good, alhamdulillah. I was hoping you had used up your Canadian jokes on Sheikh Ibrahim, but mashallah, there's like no end to that.
No, man. It's, I feel like Google, the algorithm feeds you unlimited Canadian jokes. I think I'm going to go to like ChatGPT and ask them for Canadian jokes. I wonder if AI is as ruthless towards the Canadians as American Google is, right?
Yeah. Well, I got AI to come up with Ramadan-themed dad jokes. So you guys, it might give you guys a run for your money. We might have so this is courtesy of ChatGPT, but the joke that it came up with was, what does the imam say when he shows up at your house unannounced just before Fajr? You're having suhoor with your family, the doorbell rings, you open the door, and it's the imam. He just shows up unannounced.
Imam al khayru min al nawm, I'm not sure.
Suhoor prize!
Suhoor prize.
Oh my goodness.
That is courtesy of artificial intelligence.
Good.
That's I mean, that's a good sign that AI has not caught up to humanity yet, right? That's a good sign. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Not bad, not bad. I'm sure the kids will love that. We'll attribute it to you. You know. Sheikh Abdullah, what do you rate it?
That's about a 3.5.
Wait, out of 10 or out of 5?
No. out of 10, Sheikh, out of 10.
Blessed to have you both, inshallah. And we're going to, inshallah ta'ala, go ahead and get started with bidnillahi ta'ala. So today we're actually, inshallah ta'ala, going to go with Sheikh Abdullah first, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll go with the order of the verses of Juz 18. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh Abdullah, please start us off.
Now, bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us in this beautiful month of Ramadan, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow any of the hardship that's being faced on our brothers and sisters around the world, particularly now we're talking about Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate their pain and suffering bi'idhnillahi ta'ala and accept our du'as for them. With that being the case, I really want to talk about that which affects human beings in general, being that this month of Ramadan is a month of a lot of opportunity for us, spiritual opportunity, you know, a bonus month. I mean, being that a lot of the things that we do will receive multiplication in ajr, inshallah, since it's Laylatul Qadr and the last 10 nights, bidnillahi ta'ala. But with that diligence in the actions of khair, it's important for us to recognize that when we do that, those actions of khair, it can take us away from an action of evil. And that action of evil, no doubt about it, is from shaitan that tries to either convince us or speak to our nafs with the waswas within our sudur. Our sudur, min sharri waswasil khannas, alladhini yuwaswisu fi sudur an-nas. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the chapter of Nas, the one that yuwaswisu fi sudur, the one that whispers in the sudur, in the chest of the breast of the human being. And that's what I want to talk about when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a clear warning, as He does numerous times in the Quran about shaitan. He says after A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim in the chapter of Nur, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan wa man yattabi'u khutuwati shaitan fa innahu ya'muru bil fahsha'i wal munkar ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء والله سميع عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, believers, do not follow in Satan's footsteps. Let him who follows in Satan's footsteps remember that Satan bids evil, bids people to indecency and evil. So that's the first part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling on us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Those who believe, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that told us about shaitan. And shaitan linguistically comes from shatana, which means ba'uda, which means that he is far away. And as some scholars mentioned, far away from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, far away from obedience. And he wants to call you to that. As he mentions in numerous places in the Quran, he will come to the front, the back, and on your sides, to the degree that you will not even be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shaitan subhanallah is someone that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a creature that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or recognizes Allah's greatness, let's say. Recognizes Allah's greatness and his power over him, as mentioned in numerous verses in the Quran. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us. He's reminding us that Satan is a clear enemy and do not follow his footsteps. And he uses khutawat to show that it's footsteps, to show that it is subtle. The actions of disobedience, which is important for us, particularly in this month of Ramadan, to trace back and to think sometimes even as hard as we can on our shortcomings. To serve as a motivation for us to do good deeds. Rather, to be more specific, to serve as a means for the inkisar wa iftiqar wa dhul of the qalb. When we think about those evil deeds, those khutawat of shaitan that has approached us and has encroached upon us to where we actually did something, we should think about that to where it softens our heart and it breaks our heart and it makes us debased in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will influence us to do actions of returning to him and tawbah. And Ibn Qayyim mentions this in his book, The Shower of Good Utterances and the Invocation of God, Wabil al-Sayyib, to talking about how the actions can serve as a sabab for the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the evil deeds. And shaitan is the one that calls you to that. Allah is reminding you, and it is a nahi, it is a prohibition. Look out and watch out from the khutawat of shaitan. Do not follow them. And then he says here, after all, he says here, وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعْ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah is telling you why. He's saying, whoever follows these evil pathways of shaitan, for verily Satan bids people to indecency and evil. فَحْشَاء, and the scholars mention فَحْشَاء is a little more general. It says, مَا قَبُحَ النَّفْسُ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْفِعْلِ. What the self finds nasty and finds gross, and that is not actually a beautiful thing within themselves, from the statements and in the actions. That is the fahsha. Ma fahshat an-nafs fi, something that is indesirable or distasteful. That is what Satan calls you to. And as we see in society, as times go by and as the eras pass and the years pass and different, you know, ways of understanding what is decency, what is morality, the sharia has given us the sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. Within that is telling us about decency and morality. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us that there will be times that Satan will influence people, whatever, what time and place throughout history, that he will call you to indecency and the evil. He will call you to the indecency and the evil. And the indecency here are the, as we talked about, the fahsha and the munkar is what the sharia calls to avoid. That's the munkar. The munkar is what the sharia calls you to avoid. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues on and says here after that, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if it wasn't for Allah's bounty and his mercy on you, none of you would have ever attained purity. And that's what I want to end on here, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen of Islam, it's important for us to remember that if it wasn't for the deen of Islam, the faith of Islam, our belief, our knowing who Allah is, and then our trying our level best to live up to what Allah wants from us, the sharia, the deen of Islam, the way that we manifest our love of Allah, praying five times a day, being good to your neighbor, giving zakat, calling, telling the people about your faith and having pride and honor in that. That in and of itself, the Islam being our anchor and our understanding of what life is about, our worldview being through the Quran, being through Islam, that if that was not there, Allah, it would be difficult for us and we would be misguided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, none of you would have ever attained purity if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty upon us. And to know that it is the fadl and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brought you where you are today in the levels of obedience. Any obedience that you have, always say there's no guidance, and if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would not be guided. So remembering that in this beautiful month of Ramadan and after that, that Satan is a clear enemy and that he will be subtle in calling you away from guidance. And those that have guidance and they recognize their guidance, remember that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us humble in front of him and in front of his creation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that are humble in this month of Ramadan and the months after that.
Ameen. Hafidhak Allah, Shaykh Abdullah. Beautiful words. Jazakumullah khair. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we'll pass it to Dr. Nadir. Tafadhal, Shaykh.
Jazakallah khair. So the note that Shaykh Abdullah finished on about guidance ties in perfectly with the reflection that I wanted to share about the theme of light and darkness and how it ties into guidance in our lives. So when we look at Ayatul Nur, verse 35 of Surah An-Nur, this is one of the most famous verses in the Quran. Allahu Nur as-samawati wal-ard. God is the light of the heavens and the earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example. Mathalu nurihi. He gives us an analogy of the intensity of that light. And companions like Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu and others, they said, Mathalu nurihi fi qalb al-mu'min. The example of his light in the heart of the believer. In other words, the light of guidance, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the believer with, it transforms the way that they see the world. Islam is not just a set of merely theoretical beliefs or a cultural label or some identity tag. Islam changes the way that we see everything around us. It influences our choices, our priorities. It shapes our major life decisions. Islam is a complete worldview. And that comes about through pursuing that light in one's life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the intensity of that light, the lamp that is in the niche and in the glass that's like a brilliant star, lit from the pure olive oil that's from the blessed tree. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nurun ala nur, light upon light. Yahdi Allahu linurihi mayasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to his light whomever he wills. Now, that verse gives us the analogy of the intensity of light. And on the following page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the analogy of the intensity of darkness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes somebody who is in the darkness of the bottom of the ocean. He's covered by clouds above which, by waves above which are waves. Min fawqihi sahab, above which are clouds. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ, layers of darkness, one above the other. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. If he stretches his hand out in front of his face, he doesn't even come close to seeing his hand. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given his divine light, such a person will have no light. Now, example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us of the intensity of darkness, subhanAllah, I had an opportunity to get a glimpse of such intense darkness, not at the bottom of the ocean, but when I went spelunking, which is exploring underground caves in Rat's Nest Cave in the Canadian Rockies. When you go down a pathway of caves 4 kilometers deep into the mountains, you get to a point where if you turn off your light, there is no sight and no sound. The darkness feels almost suffocating. And people get trapped in these dark caves and they start to have visual hallucinations, pulsating lights, geometrical patterns. It even distorts their perception of time. Now imagine you're trapped in that cave and a rescuer comes down and they shine that flashlight on you. Initially, that light will be almost jolting, right? It'll be almost blinding. But then that light becomes necessary for you to navigate your way out of the cave, to avoid falling into a crevice, to avoid stumbling over rocks. And that is how it is with the divine light that illuminates our path in life and shows us the dangers to avoid and shows us the opportunities to take. We often focus on nur al-hissi, or the physical light that is seen by the basr, by the eyesight. But there is also nur al-ma'nawi, the light of meaning, which is perceived by basira, insight, spiritual perception. What's really interesting about Ayatul Nur is that this verse comes after a series of passages in which we have the mention of ghaddul basar, lowering the gaze. So it is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that when you avert your gaze, in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by restraining from a lustful gaze, for example, when you avert your perception, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands your spiritual perception so that you see that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you perceive those opportunities that bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You perceive the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all around you. And what's interesting is the very next verse also shows us a very profound connection. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. Right after Ayat al-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, this light is being manifested in the houses in which the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being practiced. So dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah, is what intensifies that light within our hearts. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he shows that ghafla, heedlessness, is what extinguishes that light until a person cannot tell the truth from the falsehood or from falsehood from truth. That is the difference between dhikr and ghafla. And when you think about it, it's interesting because society is almost engineered in a way to keep us in a state of perpetual ghafla or perpetual heedlessness, constantly giving us distractions. So a person comes home from work and they just collapse on the couch and start binging Netflix, or you know, a person is standing in an elevator, they feel compelled to take out their phone and just go through their social media feed, zombie scrolling, which is interesting because that's how the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described it. مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The analogy of the one who engages in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared to the one who doesn't is like the analogy of the one who is alive compared to one who isn't. Light brings life. Now, how do we bring that divine light into our lives? There are many ways, all the acts of ibadat, but one way that I want to really emphasize is through dua, making dua specifically for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with his divine light. So if you haven't already, check out the Yaqeen dua book, which is freely available on the website. The dua for light is mentioned therein. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura. Oh Allah, place light in my heart. Wa fi basari nura, wa fi sam'i nura. And in my hearing and in my seeing, in our faculties of perception. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet told us to make dua for light in our surroundings, from the six directions of space around us. And the dua concludes, wa ja'al li nura. Or in another narration, wa ja'al ni nura. Right, make for me light or make me light. The believer becomes transformed by that light. So no matter what darkness you're going through in life, whether it's the darkness of an internal struggle or the darkness of oppression, never despair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can rescue you from that darkness and grant you his divine light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to attain that divine light. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen. MashaAllah, what a profound reflection. Jazakallah khair. Karamakallah, Dr. Nader. And inshallah, I have several questions about what you put forth and reflections. Inshallah, we'll get to it at the end. Ustada Ruhi, tafadali.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. So Dr. Nader's reflection there ties in beautifully into some of the contrasts we're going to see in terms of how that plays out in Surat Al-Mu'minun. I've chosen ayahs 23 through 30 to talk about briefly, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing the nation of Nuh alayhi salam. So there's two groups of people here that are mentioned. One, those who opposed his call, and two, the few people who were the true believers among them who actually followed him. And it's worth noting that the stories of other nations and their prophets and messengers are also mentioned in succession in this surah. In fact, the very next passage begins in ayah 31 with, "Then we raised another generation after them." No name is mentioned for this nation, as if to understand that that's not the main point. Rather, the most relevant part here is to actually look at what we can learn from the mindset, the behavior, and the outcome of each of the two specific types of people that are being mentioned in all of these nations. So these verses, they actually give us insight into the Quranic worldview, that of a clear division between people's beliefs on the basis of truth and falsehood. Between Tawheed and Shirk. And in particular here, the flawed mindset of those who are opposing the truth as played out repeatedly throughout history. So this is the test of life, right? And a reality that we're all told to expect. It goes back to the delineation between Adam and Iblis, between Iman and Kufr. And we see it again in this surah between Musa and Fir'aun and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Quraysh. So hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also giving us the Quranic lens through which to view ourselves as the example of the believers that are being mentioned in this surah, and as to how to align ourselves with them in order to correctly respond to the challenges that we may also encounter in our life. So the first ayah, number 23, it begins after A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Indeed, we sent Noah to his people, and he declared, "O my people, worship Allah alone. You have no other God, no God other than him. Will you not then fear or be mindful of him. So this ayah marks the clear distinction between tawheed and shirk. And there's a really important point here, afala tattaqun, that taqwa is the means to safeguarding that tawheed, or else one can easily fall into shirk, as seen as this, in this example and the others that are mentioned later in the surah. So Nuh's people, they were worshipping idols that they made themselves, originally out of reverence for their pious predecessors. Think about it for a minute, that, you know, how many propped up, you know, self-made idols, particularly in this day and age, in the material world, are people worshiping, starting with their own desire. So jumping ahead for just a moment, the passage is going to end in the thought-provoking way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in ayah number 30, surely in this are lessons and signs. Inna fi dhalika la'ayat, literally ayat, signs of Allah. And we always put people to the test. So this is a call for us to pause and reflect on what's really important here. Nuh alayhi salam, he's been sincere in calling to Tawheed, right? 950 years later, what happens? Only a few people actually choose to align with him and become believers. His people just kept rejecting him. And they were in particular people of authority, the powerful, the wealthy, the chiefs of his community. They remained defiant and arrogant, even threatening to stone him out of town. They humiliated and slandered him and his followers in public. Their tribunals are like kind of like the power of the media and politics today. So they create this false narrative and propaganda against the believers to rally their people to remain loyal. The believers are viewed as outcasts, hence the social divide that we see in society even today between the powerful elite of society and the weak among them. So they falsely accuse Nuh of being a mere human. And a threat, somebody who was seeking authority, according to them, over his people to just serve his own ambitions. While at the same time, they're branding him insane and saying he's possessed by a jinn, literally. So these contradictory and really baseless objections are all just there to deny this messenger of God. Now, if this sounds familiar, it's because it is. And it very powerfully demonstrates the Quran's relevance to this day. In reality, they're discrediting him because of what? Because of their aversion to the truth, which didn't suit their self-interests. Such people justify their behavior and seek the short-lived comforts of this world because of their heedlessness and denial of the hereafter, and more importantly, accountability for their actions. From the perspective of the believers now, we can see that, you know, when you take a stand for the truth, you may face criticism, even from those closest to you. You may have to stand alone at times. And, you know, even perhaps go against the popular norms of society, particularly in our, you know, in times that we live in where ideologies are just changing by the day. But we're being shown here that the believers maintain a firm stand in their faith all the time. It's really the last part of this that I want to kind of hone in on to conclude and have some takeaways for us, inshallah. The actions of Nuh alayhi salam give us a methodology for the believers that we see throughout the Quran and the examples of the other prophets. What does he do? Nuh makes a powerful dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his aid. And this shows his conviction and trust in Allah. So first and foremost, number one, dua. Turning to Allah is always the first step for the believer. And we do it with complete certainty and tawakkul, trust and reliance that he will respond. So Allah responded to Nuh, commanding him to build the ark under his watch and instruction. So point number two, takeaway, plan and action. We always need a plan in order to succeed at anything that we do, both in worldly things, but most importantly, for the hereafter. And Allah's instruction to Nuh came as what? Divine revelation. He didn't know how to construct an ark. Our instruction comes as divine revelation too in the Quran. So this is our manual and plan of action to build our own ark, so to speak, of refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to safety and salvation through the storms of life. The passage is going to conclude with Nuh alayhi salam being instructed to express praise and gratitude with the words, Alhamdulillahilladhi najjana min al-qawmi al-zalimin. All praise and gratitude is due to Allah, who saved us from the wrongdoing people. Notice he's saying saved in the past tense, as if it's already happened. Here we see his yaqeen, that it's going to work. And the last and final ayah, Rabbi anzilni munzala mubarakan wa anta khairul munzilin. And say, my Lord instructs him, say, my Lord, let me land with your blessing. It is you who provide the best landing. And here we see his tawakkul. So the last point is praise, gratitude, and tawakkul through every part of this. Allah knows the best place and he knows the best time for each of us. He will guide us to the best outcome even when we can't see through the turbulence at times. So believers are always protected, no matter how harsh the circumstances appear at times. He knows and we don't, right? This is from Allah's knowledge, His mercy, His wisdom, even though it may not always be apparent to us. And many of us, just to conclude here, are struggling with our own personal challenges. We have, you know, we see conflict within our families, within our communities. We may be inflicted with harm at the hands of others, even those closest to us. Nuh alayhi salam couldn't convince his own son. So we all struggle. We struggle to make sense of also what we're witnessing of the hardship and pain of so many today who are subjected day in, day out to all forms of injustice and tyranny. These verses are providing us with a framework, the resolve, and they're empowering us to move forward. And they're, you know, they're particularly relevant today, just as they were in the strength that they provided the Prophet ﷺ when they were revealed in the time when he needed it most in Mecca during the time of persecution. So imagine the strength and hope that they gave to him at that time. So inshallah, may this always be a means for guidance for all of us to seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fortify our own hearts, just as Nuh alayhi salam and the believers were fortified and carried in the ark to safety and salvation. Jazakumullah
khair. Very beautiful reflections. And subhanAllah, in the midst of, you know, Nur and al-Mu'minun, and you're thinking about the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha and the immediate lessons to the Prophet ﷺ and the community, it shows you the relevance of the Prophets to the life of the Prophet ﷺ and to those that are around him in each episode of the Seerah. So inshallah ta'ala, what I'm going to do and reflect upon is just the connection that you notice between al-Mu'minun and al-Nur. And it speaks to one of the earliest instructions of the Qur'an, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. Do not dress the truth with falsehood. Do not conceal the truth. And the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow truth and falsehood to coexist in the same place, nor will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow light and darkness to coincide in the same place. And these are lessons that you've heard glimmers of in these previous reflections that we've had today, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. But what does that mean? I just want you to take the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, literally if you take these first 10 verses, and then you go to An-Nur, Surah An-Nur, the next surah, and you look at the 10 verses that speak about Hadithatul Ifk, the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha. So verse 10 onwards. And I want you to think about how if the believers would have heeded the advice of Surah Al-Mu'minun, they would not have found themselves in the disaster of the slander that is alluded to in Surah An-Nur. Just think about it. And you can actually start to match up the qualities of the believers to the disasters that would have been averted had the people applied these qualities in their lives. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers have succeeded. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who humble themselves in prayer. The hypocrites, of course, were people who were noted for their movement in prayer, for their laziness, for إِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. They got up late, lazy. They clearly had no khushu' in their prayer. They're always moving around, always looking around, not thinking about the prayer, completely unfocused in the prayer and thinking about what came before and what comes after the prayer and how to use this religion for a worldly pursuit. The believers have khushu', they're humble in prayer, which means that they are internally filling themselves with that nur of the prayer that the Prophet ﷺ is talking about, the light of that salah. Now what happens then, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who avoid idle speech. Many of those who fell into the slanderous speech in Surah An-Nur could have protected themselves had they not been people that indulge idle speech. So they weren't necessarily malicious like the munafiqeen, but at the same time, they fell into that slander because their tongues used to move too frequently with idle speech. And so had they applied وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ, those who avoid idle speech, they would have avoided slanderous speech by default. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, and those people who pay charity, and فَاعِلُونَ, they insist, they are eager, they are fully locked in when it comes to the application of everything that comes with charity and the purification of the self that comes through charity. Many of those who betrayed the message of the Prophet ﷺ and joined the ranks of the hypocrites did so because of money, because of power, and many of those who fell into the slander fell into it because of wealth, because of money. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, and those who guard their chastity. Surah An-Nur starts off with talking about az-zina, right? And here you have, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. And whoever goes beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them of permissible outlets, then verily they are the transgressors. So they would have protected themselves from the crime of zina that we find immediately in Surah An-Nur. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. The believers are those who are true to their trusts and their covenants. The hallmark of the hypocrites, إِذَا حَدَثَ كَذَبْ, when they speak, they lie. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ, and when they make promises, they break their promises. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانْ, and if they are entrusted with something, they break that trust. And so the believers would have protected themselves from falling to the prey of the hypocrites had they applied these verses. Once again, Allah brings it back to as-salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Those who preserve their prayers, who protect their prayers, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. They are the ones who will be awarded. Awarded with what? الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They are the ones who will inherit الْفِرْدَوْسَ, and they will remain therein forever. SubhanAllah, the chief hypocrite that obstructed the way of the Prophet ﷺ and agitated Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul did so because he wanted to inherit the throne of Medina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the believers will inherit something far precious than any throne or wealth. They will inherit al-firdaus. Now, a few other reflections here, inshallah ta'ala, and then we can reflect together. Dr. Nadir, subhanallah, we actually did not coordinate this, but he mentioned the dua of An-Nur. And I was thinking about the dua of An-Nur as well in a very specific way. وَفِي لِسَانِي نُورًا وَفِي سَمْعِي نُورًا. The Prophet ﷺ says, in that dua of light, place light on my tongue, light in my hearing. You can't have the light of Islam on your tongue, the light of dhikr on your tongue, and then regurgitate the slander of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and the slander of pious people, and the gossiping about people, and the lying, and these types of things. You can't have the light of the Quran in your ears, and the light of the remembrance of Allah in your ears, and then be opening your ears towards the slanderous things that people say about others, and the gossip, and the darkness, and the filth. If you have light on your eyes, then you're not going to be zombie scrolling and looking for the filth in the first place. What are you doing on Twitter in Ramadan? Gossiping about people, backbiting about people. What are you doing scrolling through your YouTube feed, scrolling through Instagram, whatever it is? What are you doing scrolling through these things, even exposing your eyes to this nonsense? How are you going to have nur in these places if you're constantly exposing these places to darkness? And the Prophet ﷺ said, اتَّقُوا الظُّلْمَ فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Be wary of transgression, of oppression, because it is darkness upon darkness upon darkness on the Day of Judgment. The last reflection here, notice, subhanAllah, the first 10 of Surah Al-Mu'minun and then the end of Surah Al-Furqan, which will stretch into the next juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of these good qualities in Surah Al-Mu'minun, أُولَٰئِكَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. These are the people who inherit al-firdaus. And Allah says at the end of the description of the qualities of the believers in Surah Al-Furqan, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. That they will have the highest rooms in paradise by virtue of their patience. The Prophet ﷺ promised the highest levels of paradise for those who have husnul khuluq, who have good character. If you want to have al-firdaus and you want to have al-ghuraf and you're watching the Jannah series and you're like, I want these types of things, and you're hearing about Jannah and I want these places and I want the highest levels, Allah literally gives it to you in two summaries here. And they match up perfectly. The beginning of al-mu'minun and the end of al-furqan. If you want al-firdaus al-a'la, if you want al-ghuraf, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be of the inheritors of those high places. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. We have just a few minutes, inshallah ta'ala. Dr. Nadir, when you talked about Surah An-Nur, subhanAllah, and you talked about the dua of An-Nur, is there any implication like of when the Prophet ﷺ used to make that dua and what it represents?
Yeah, subhanAllah, that's such an important thing you reminded us of, because The hadith mentions that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make this dua during his tahajjud prayers, during his nightly prayers, right? So this is another extra benefit, especially during Ramadan when we are attending night prayers, to make this this dua, but also thinking about it at that time in the middle of the night when you're surrounded by darkness, calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging him for his light. There's an extra beauty to that that time in which the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make this dua.
SubhanAllah. So it's like in tahajjud and walking to the masjid. And I think the point of that, like the reason why I think that's such an important reflection, you can't make good du'as while in the midst of horrible deeds, right? And like, what's the du'a for this and what's the du'a for that? SubhanAllah. So I think it's a beautiful reflection. InshaAllah, leave it open for Ustad Ruhi and Sheikh Abdullah. Last reflections, inshaAllah ta'ala. Then we can all go, what was it called? Scalamping?
Spelunking.
Belunking.
But it's not for the claustrophobic, and you might be too tall. Sheikh Abdullah might have too wide shoulders for it. So I don't know. You have to squeeze through like really narrow crevices. So.
That's a word, man. I'm going to have to look that up, inshallah.
Spelunking.
Spelunking. But any final reflections?
Estella?
I was just reflecting on and thinking as we were listening to this that, you know, all of the slander that was discussed in some of the ayat that I covered in Mu'minun and then of the other prophets, and then comparing that to this, it hit me that in Surah An-Nur, where the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha, and just how her response is so beautifully mentioned following up after all of the, you know, the various incidents we see in Surah Al-Mu'minun, and just, you know, she embodies all of those qualities that I was sort of referring to there in terms of sitting, waiting patiently for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide her a way out of the storm that she was in. And it was literally a different kind of a storm, but a storm nonetheless.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Yeah, I remember now, Ajin, I remember when, and we call him an OG, old school brother, he was telling me when I was in Medina and I was visiting Jeddah, he said, when you go back to America, make sure you read Surah An-Nur. He said, make sure you read Surah An-Nur and understand it going back to the West. Because a lot of those issues, you know, subhanAllah, it just shows the justice of Islam and, you know, how to deal with a lot of these issues. We're talking about gossip and, you know, spreading tales, and how if someone accuses someone of something, what does the Sharia say about it? What is the proper methodology and way of going about it, subhanAllah? So that chapter is Alim Jiddin, particularly for those that are well familiar with the social ills, particularly of the West. Yeah.
Jazakumullah khair. Dr. Nazir, you got a final thought for us before we sign off?
You know, one thing that came to mind was how Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, after he mentions the levels of light and how people differ in their light, he mentions وَلَيْسَ التَّوْحِيدُ مُجَرَّدَ إِقْرَارُ الْعَبْدِ بِأَنَّهُ لَا خَالِقَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That Tawheed is not just theoretically affirming that there is no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the creator. It has to transform our light. It has to connect to our love, to our hope, to our fear, all those emotions of worship. And that's something that we work on building those emotions in the month of Ramadan as well.
Beautiful. Sahib, Jazakumullah khairah. We really enjoyed your reflections. Dr. Nazir, Ustad Ruhi, Sheikh Abdullah, as always. Reminder to everyone again, inshallah, if you're watching on YouTube, donate, inshallah, ta'ala, wherever you're watching. Sign up for the last 10. Automate your donations. And, of course, join us for the webathon. The webathon will be loaded with gems, inshallah. We'll have both Dr. Nader and Ustad Ruhi there as well, inshallah, this coming Tuesday. Jazakumullahu khaira. And Dr. Nader, one more time, what's it called?
Go spelunking. Yeah, there you go. Spelunking.
Maybe that's your Eid activity, to go spelunking.
Yeah.
we'll make that a surprise for you, inshallah.
Yeah.
Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum.